September 14, 2020, it's a Watt for Pedro show. Watt for Pedro show. Happy Monday. Middle of the month, September. Brother Matt at the Love Grotto, a couple miles south of Pleasure Point, because we're still in quarantino mode. But I am not totally man alone because of those software engineers in Estonia with their Skype invention. I got Cube with me. Cube, you're up in Oaktown?
I'm in San Francisco right now.
Ah, okay, city. Okay.
Yeah.
Who'd I just talk to Saturday? Jim Vales. Incredible, crazy. I love this. New Ronnies and new clone. And I got to thank Evan Lipson because he turned me on to both Jim and yourself and a whole bunch of stuff. Last week we had out of Knoxville, Ice. Isn't that a trip? Ice and Q.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But she, you know, who's during the daytime, right, she's an architect, but she makes some badass sounds and stuff. And all you cats, I mean, it's quite an honor for me. I should tell the people we started off John Coltrane with Kenny Perrell doing a freight train. And then you, Q, with Sound Man Speaks. So let's go back in your music journey, Q. What's your earliest what's your earliest musical recollection?
Oh, I don't know if there was one moment in particular or anything like that, but I spent a lot of time.
Let me tell you, on the Watt for Pedro show, there's no hard questions and there's no wrong answers.
Fair enough. Yeah, I guess when I was probably 7 or 8, I took in a lot of kind of like, just a lot of pop culture in general, MTV, that kind of stuff. And my parents got me a guitar, like a sort of a toy guitar, but kind of like a, it was electric and it had a built-in speaker and it was like always distorted. And so I got really into kind of mimicking what I saw and heard at a pretty young age. But other than that, I think just music, you know, my dad would have music on around the house, but I didn't, a lot of it I like now, but at the time I didn't really speak to me, you know, but I think that through TV, I guess, I kind of got interested in grunge and like that kind of stuff.
Now, is he a player or just a listener?
He played a little guitar and he used to do, he's like a big music fan, but he didn't really, he and I would play together and he would play guitar kind of a little like, you know, he would play like kind of rudimentary riffs and stuff, but he had a background as like a DJ from when he was in high school and stuff. So he had like a big music knowledge, but he wasn't typically playing until I kind of got into it.
Now, did he have a guitar with a built-in amp, distorted sound?
he used that guitar, I guess, when we would play and I would, I guess, sing or like beat on something. Yeah, that was the only instrument that was really around at the time.
Well, what about in school? Were you in the choir, the marching band, or shit like that?
No, I guess I was in church choir for a little while when I was younger. And at school, I did take like some guitar lessons outside of school, and then in school, I took a little bit of theory, like, as like sort of an elective thing, but I didn't really go down that road. I was like curious about it, but I didn't pursue it very hard, no.
And where was this?
This is in South Carolina.
What town?
It's Columbia. It's like
Columbia, yeah, the capital, in the middle.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, a great bass man from South Carolina, James Jamerson.
Huh, who's that?
Well, he's on all those Motown records. He's
cool.
On more top 20 hits than you can. I mean, he's gone now, but man, us guys on bass guitar really owe that man. So thank you, South Carolina. I mean, he moved to Detroit early, you know, but
right.
And he came from the stand-up, but he really kind of invented the bass guitar for us. This is, we're talking early 60s, right?
Yeah.
I'm curious. What was the first record you bought for yourself?
First vinyl record I bought, or like just any kind of
yeah, piece of music. Yeah, I should, you know. I'm 62 years old, so sometimes I show.
Oh no. Well, because I did get into records, but that was probably like, but I was probably in high school at that time. But before that, I had, you know, cassettes, and I think there, a lot of the first stuff was kind of like, I don't know the exact first record I got or tape I got, but there was definitely like a lot of Nirvana, Nine Inch Nails, sort of like that kind of, when there was sort of like mainstream alternative that was kind of like coming from, I guess, grunge, or some of it was sort of punk. I think I had a Green Day cassette in there. Well, so kind of gateway punk and alternative music, sort of.
I ask because, you know, you're spending your own money, so it's like something you really want to get, right?
Right. Well, okay, so I guess those are probably like a birthday gift or something. Probably the first, I do remember spending my own money on a cassette that I thought was going to be metal, just based on the cover art at like a truck stop.
Yeah.
But it was Meatloaf, Bat Out of Hell 2. So I got back, and I was like on a road trip with my family. I got back and put the Walkman headphones on, and there was all these ballads and stuff. But, you know, it was like the only one I had with me, so I ended up like really loving that record. But,
yeah,
I had to listen to it like 3 or 4 times.
He's a good singer. Did you ever see the Rocky Horror Picture Show?
I've kind of seen bits and pieces of it, but I've never, like, gone to a screening of it or anything.
Well, he plays Eddie, and they end up chowing him.
Right, right.
What about the first gig? What was the first gig you saw, Q?
It was Hometown Heroes, Hootie and the Blowfish.
Whoa.
From Columbia.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
I was probably, like, 7 or something.
Khaki pants.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Look, I want to play Greased Air here, okay?
sunbeams in the air. Weaving golden velvet rugs. Magic fingers through my hair. Magic fingers through my hair.
Thank you. Dojo, you know what I'm on. 36 chambers of doom. I'm gonna break through every one of them. Show you my soul, you know what I'm on. Surround this, can't drown him. All y'all are boundless.
Walk for Pedro show. That was Greased Air, starting that chunk of music off from Cube. Then we had Silver Apples after that. Everybody in electro, well, fuck, any kind of music. Simeon Cox, we lost Brother Simeon from Knoxville. He had a band called the Silver Apples, and he's using Oscillator in 1968. So that was Love Fingers. And then after that, His Name Is Live, some new stuff, To Remember 2 version. Fragment from Fuse first album, Few. Bogdan Rosinski, Bokumo Wakaran 23. 23 is a magic number, everybody knows. 2 plus 3 equals 5, right? Law of fives. Every two things you reveal, keep three concealed. Model Home after that from DC with Boundless. I had them on the show last week. Incredible duo. Jarboe Walks in the River, brand new stuff from Thor and Friends featuring Jarboe, you know, from Swan. Deer Hoof and Wadada Leo Smith, something live, I Will Spite Survive. Salvation, Jason Forge Ahead Record. He's got a benefit if you go there. Take Another Bow. All the bones go to his good cause. Latency, finally, from Q. Which, you know, once we solve that problem, we'll be jamming over this internet, not just trading files, right, Q? So
Yeah.
So you're on guitar, you know, as a more younger man. Do you do the, you know, after school, the garage band, the basement band, the bedroom band, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I had a band, I guess I would play with, like, my neighbor and my dad sometimes when I was really little, and that was kind of more like trash can drum kind of situation, you know, the toy guitar, but then in high school, but we did, like, record, and that stuff's probably around somewhere. But then
I'm curious.
In high school,
was it original? Was it original stuff, or did you copy off records?
I think I believed it was original, but I'm sure there's some copying going on too. You know, I think my dad and I made some tapes under the name The Night Creatures.
Okay,
and I remember it being real. It was definitely like kind of, I think it was just vocals and guitar for the most part. And, so there were like lyrics and all that, but it wasn't really, a lot of it was probably just kind of mimicking whatever I was taking in at the time. And then, but yeah, in high school I did start playing with, some friends. I had a friend that played drums, and his dad was like a prog rock guy, kind of, so he had all this gear, and so they kind of had all the amps and drum kit and everything, so it was sort of easy to go play over there. So that was kind of the first actual, like, interaction I had.
Did this band have a name?
It kind of cycled through some different names. I think the first, they're all pretty embarrassing names, I guess. The first one, I think, was The Dispossessed was the name. It was sort of like a punk band, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, or at least that was the goal. I think it was probably a little more rough around the edges than that, even. But so, yeah, that was kind of the first band with people, like, outside of my immediate family, I guess.
Now, did you do any gigs?
We eventually did. It kind of became more of a, you know, it kind of lasted a few years, and we eventually did.
Tell me about the first Dispossessed gig.
Man, I don't know that I could place the exact first one. I know we did a couple of, like, house shows at that house where we would play, like, in the garage or something, and then we kind of, it was funny. We played a lot of, there was like this kind of community center spot that you could rent out, in sort of on the outskirts of town, and you could rent the place for like $75, I think it was, if you told them you were having a birthday party, and then you could have a show and, you know, charge a little money and like pay the band fairly well because it was only $75 for the space. So I think we played there a few times. But yeah, nothing really stands out as like the first one. I guess the, we ended up, we would kind of hang around this like metal club in town. And so we ended up playing some kind of shows that we really didn't, like, it didn't make any sense that these, like, high school kids were playing them. Like, I remember opening for, like, Melt Banana or something, and we were just kind of, like, this really sloppy, like, high school band. It was, like, in retrospect, like, pretty bizarre, you know, but also cool.
Yeah, Melt Banana, I got to do a lot of gigs with them. They're incredible.
Yeah, they were a crazy live band for sure. So
and
that was kind of
that
a,
guitar man.
Yeah, a lucky thing.
I got that. That guitar man is my missing man guitarist, Tom Watson's favorite guitarist.
And oh, really?
Yeah, and he was way ahead.
He's
know?
Wild for sure.
He has allergies, so he always wears masks. He, on a fashion tip, he was way ahead of all of us.
Right, right. Yeah, I always thought maybe that was a cultural thing that I didn't, you know, at the time I didn't know it was actually a health condition he had or anything.
Yeah, yeah, he's a great cat. And, so, this band last passed high school?
I think it probably fizzled out, like, around the end of high school.
And then what'd you do with...
For me.
Yeah, what'd you do with for music then, Q?
I played for... Kind of played with some other people from... Columbia. There was a guy who, like, played in, you might have crossed paths with him, he played in, like, a lot of hardcore bands and stuff, like, earlier on, he was, like, a bit older than me, but he and I started playing together. His name's Kevin Bird, and, so that kind of happened right as I was graduating, and we ended up forming a band, and it was kind of odd because I had sort of, like, not grown up, but I kind of listened to records that he played on, like, in my formative years, sort of. So it's, like, kind of exciting in that way. So that was the first band that toured and all that stuff. It was called Thank God, and it was, like, sort of more in, like, the hardcore world, I guess. And that was a five-piece band.
And so there was another guitar guy?
Yeah. Yeah, two guitars, bass, drums, and a singer.
Right.
And so that was kind of my first exposure to touring. And we kind of toured a lot. And yeah, I guess that's sort of like, kind of the first, like, active real band in that sense.
And did you write songs, or did you help write songs, or were you just playing guitar?
I helped write them. We kind of alternated. I think it was definitely a learning experience as far as, like, five people being kind of a lot. Almost like too many cooks in the kitchen at times, you know? Because
yeah.
It was a collaborative sort of writing. You know, it was never, like, presenting a complete song. So there's a lot of piecing together stuff with, like, all five opinions in there, you know? And I think... Maybe that led to, like, sometimes we would really hit on something we were all happy with, but I think often it would sort of fall somewhere in the middle, you know, or maybe you would have a track you had more influence over and feel good about, but then another one not so much. You know, it was very collaborative in that way.
And did you guys record?
We did, yeah. Kind of a lot, I guess. It was like, it seemed like a big 7-inch era. Like, we did a lot of, like, EPs and stuff.
Okay. And how long does this band last?
That's a good question. We probably started in like 2004. And in 2008, I moved to Atlanta, but we were still doing it. It's like 3 hours away. So I would still come practice with them some. And then probably 2009, we stopped doing it. So I guess it was pretty active for like about 5 years, maybe.
Okay. And do you do any music in Atlanta? Because you end up this, you know, West Coast.
Right. Yeah, I did. I had a band, a couple bands there. Still kind of playing guitar. And that was actually where I started playing solo music for the first time.
Wow.
Just kind of like late at night, just kind of like maybe finding it harder to like get collaborations together, but wanting to kind of keep things good, you know, keep the momentum going.
Sure, sure. Kind of like what you're doing now.
Right, yeah, that's definitely like where that began, I guess, was in Atlanta, probably like 2009, maybe 2010.
And, you know, I mean, music is music, but kind of a departure from the five-man hardcore thing.
Right, yeah, for sure.
What do you think made the leap?
I mean, I think the hardcore thing was definitely like a big compromise even at the time. Like, I was kind of interested in it for maybe the weirder end of it. And I think I learned a lot from being in that band and playing with Kevin and everybody. It was really awesome. But it wasn't like, I think part of the reason that band fizzled out is it was kind of like we all wanted to do different things. And sometimes that tension was good, like pulling in different directions. But then ultimately, I think, yeah, I had just been wanting to do something else for a long time. So, but also I think some of the departure just has to do with me, you know, just kind of a different context, maybe just like making music, kind of learning how to make music by myself in like a late night setting and just kind of, you know, someone's probably asleep in the other room and just kind of like figuring it out on a four track, you know,
kind of mad scientist mode.
Yeah. Maybe that might be generous, but maybe, yeah.
Cube, we're at the end of the first hour, September 14th, 2020 edition. Watt Pedro Show special guest, Cube. Hold tight for hour two. September 14th, 2020. It's second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. Thank you.
nice red house shoes. Give me John Bonham's kick drum. I'll give you a hoop to jump through. If you know the way to San Jose, teach you how to do the boogaloo.
Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show. We start off the second hour with Cube doing Regulator. Two tapes. And then Sam Bennett over in Tokyo, Bring Me the Head of Elmo. We Are the Asteroid at Austin with Virus. Chrome. That was a band in the city in old days with Helios Creed.
The Inevitable. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good band. He's doing some medical things right now, but I got to do some gigs with him. And then Flying Vipers after that, brand new, Leaf Miner. And finally, Menthol Moon from Q. Late at night, the moon, right? A menthol moon. Maybe some out of a pack of cools. So tell me about this evolution here, Q.
Sure. So just of like the solo music itself, you mean?
Yeah, right. Was some of it in Atlanta, or did you wait till you get west?
No, some of it was in Atlanta. I did several, I don't know if you want to call them albums, several cassettes before moving. I moved west in like 2011. But by that time I already had kind of gotten, I don't want to say comfortable, but I had sort of established a way of like working on that stuff. So it was definitely already something I was doing when I moved. And I didn't necessarily know that I was moving, which I guess is a pattern I'm noticing, but I sort of like went to visit, and then I ended up living there for like 8 years, I guess.
Whoa.
So, I mean, you know, not uninterrupted, but I, so yeah, I guess I was still doing a lot of tape stuff when I moved, and I, at that time, that was kind of the main instrument, was like prepared tapes, and kind of like, maybe like a four track and then a few other different tape sources and sort of like juggling those in a way. And then, it kind of started out largely instrumental, but vocals started to sort of creep in there more.
Yep.
Especially in the live setting. Like maybe even if the records were more instrumental, I'd find myself kind of like building a set around more of like a, what felt like a song or two.
I was going to ask you, you weren't just recording, you were actually doing gigs in this mode.
Yeah, not a ton in Atlanta, because it just didn't, I guess I was still kind of developing it, but I did play there a few times, and then I think playing live in the Bay really caused me to sort of develop it into, yeah, something else. Just like playing live a lot more. And maybe that kind of inevitably leading to more of like to developing more songs rather than, I mean, I think of all of it as songs, but I got kind of more interested in the vocal aspect, or like maybe the more, the sort of higher energy stuff sort of came out of that, maybe partially from playing live, you know?
Well, what about the way you present it? Was it a bunch of equipment on a table, or?
Yeah. I mean, that was always sort of part of it. I guess gradually it became more of a spectacle, where somewhere along the line I discovered the smoke machine. And then it was like, oh, this is, you know, this solves all my problems here, because then you're not, you know, you're not really looking at the table full of equipment.
Right.
You're just kind of like in this fog together. At some point it was like.
So you probably had your own personal smoke machine.
Oh, yeah. That was like the most important instrument for a while, I think.
Yeah.
It'd be like, all right, do I bring this piece of gear or do I bring the smoke machine, you know?
I'm going to do a piece of music you gave me that's a collaboration with somebody called Hair Clinic. It's called Untitled.
Thank you.
For Pedro Show, yeah, I started that chunk of music with Q and Hair Clinic doing Untied. Who's Hair Clinic, Q?
That's a guy who lives in the Bay. Yeah, I hope it's all right. I didn't really tell him I was going to send that to you, but he and I, his name's Max Nordahl, and we never really played music together, but then during quarantine, I found myself here with like a lot of time, and I was trying to send tracks to people just to like see if anyone wanted to kind of pass quick like tracks back and forth, just some kind of conversation, you know?
Sure.
And he was like the person that kind of just immediately like sent a bunch of stuff back. And so we ended up making like a ton. We haven't done anything with it yet, but we probably made like 20 tracks.
Wow.
That's
what this time is meant
quickly.
For. You know,
yeah, exactly.
Not for sitting on your hands. Yeah, I love that. I love to hear it. Jimmy Hugh was after that with, he did a version of Little Man with a Gun in His Hand. Dollum after that, Brand New, The Sound. The Hawk from Iowa City with Ode to Duh. Slant, here's some new stuff. My Way Out. Not Slint, but Slant. Planning for Burial, Brand New. We Left Our Bodies with the Earth. And then Cube, It's Always Summer. Well, not always. We're running out of summer here now.
Yeah.
So, you Hair Clinic, no gigs. This is all virtual. This is trading files?
Yeah, and pretty... Yeah, kind of just like, a lot of times just like one take, you know, almost just kind of pretty loose improv or something, or just sending like a texture recording kind of thing and passing that back and forth maybe once, but pretty quick. Yeah, we haven't actually ever played together in real life, so.
Right. So is he always first or are you always first or you switch up?
It switches. Yeah, it's switched. It's kind of been both ways, and usually it hasn't really gone back and forth a whole lot. It's usually like, here's a layer, and then the other person sends something back, and then maybe once more, but sometimes it's just like, okay, let's move on, you know?
Sure, sure. And, so... In a situation like that, yeah, you're waiting for the stuff to come. Or the other way, when you're first, it's kind of like the way you've been doing things. But how is that usually? Are you thinking rhythmic first or are you thinking melodic first?
It really depends. I mean, I think that's like the challenge of like doing something by yourself is sort of getting out of your own patterns, you know? Sometimes that's hard to do.
I know what you mean.
In the early days, you get
into rerun mode and you don't like that, right?
Right, exactly, yeah. I think there's ways to kind of interrupt that or subvert that, but yeah, I don't know. In the early days, I guess I would almost just choose one, you know? I wouldn't really integrate. It would either be kind of a rhythmic piece or like a melodic one or a textural one, but not necessarily like... It was maybe more hyper-focused, but more recently, I try to integrate those things, and I guess it typically starts with rhythm, but I wouldn't say that's... I try not to repeat the same kind of approach, because, yeah, then it's kind of that feeling of getting stuck.
I remember in the old days, I made a demo for this Chicone Youth thing with Thurston, and... The rhythm box had three sentences.
Well, nice.
Right? Kind of a samba thing and kind of straight, you know, poop-poop-pop, rock and roll, and then, you know, some kind of oompa.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was it. You just made it faster or slower.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then there was this amazing...
limitations are good, you know? Can be.
Yeah, yeah. Then this amazing thing called the Lin drum, which was like thousands of dollars.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, we're at the end of the second hour, September 14, 2020 edition. Special guest Cube. Hold that fire three. September 14, 2020, third hour of the Watt for Pedro show. Watt for Pedro show. Start off the third hour with Cube doing My Constant Companion. And then Crane with Fountain of Youth. Modoman out of Baltimore with Side B of Ascension or whatever. Ascension was the first Coltrane I ever heard. Raymond Pettibone played for me. I knew he was older, but I thought he was an older punk rocker. I didn't know he's dead. I come from Navy housing. I didn't know bebop or shit. Raymond educated on me. Actually, you know, like I was saying earlier, music's music. So fuck it. You know, the idea of labels, right? Tags. It gets kind of stifling. And finally, we had Sanctuary.
For sure.
Sanctuary from Q. So, yeah, let's get more into the process. I'm curious about your process. Like, do you ever use found sounds where you just record something and then try to make a tune out of that or alongside it?
Yeah, a little bit. I definitely will record sounds and that's definitely part of it. I mean, it's usually, lately it's not like the central component of like a song or a piece or anything, but I do, there are like field recordings and samples and stuff like that. And then for a while, a lot of it kind of started with, I guess try to mix up the process as much as I can. The last one that came out is probably like the most, called Decoy Street. That's like probably the most song oriented one.
I really like it. Integrate, would you call it a collection of songs or one big fucking dealio?
I think of them as songs. I mean, they're definitely interrelated in some way. But, yeah, I guess I approached that one almost more like I would in a band or something, but just doing that in layers or something. There's definitely like a lot more guitar playing on there than previous stuff, I think.
Are you working on something now?
I am. Well, I finished. I have a record that I finished that, well, it's kind of in that stage between being finished and actually seeing the light of day, you know?
Okay.
But I think beginning of next year it'll exist. If not, maybe November or something this year, probably early next year.
And you, what do you think? Do you, different?
Yeah, I think so. A couple of the tracks that you played today are from the upcoming one.
Which ones?
Latency and Menthol Moon are both from that.
Okay. Yeah, great tunes.
And I forget what else. I think the one that you played, the last one you played, I'm all mixed up with the order.
You know what you gave me, Q, was a couple things that ain't Q. One of them is next I want to play called Mansion.
Right.
And one's called SPF. And what are those, collabs or side proj?
Mansion was like the next kind of, the first band I did sort of alongside solo stuff in the Bay. And that, we only did one record, but it, I really liked that band a lot. I think we kind of worked on it for two or three years, and we did that record and did one tour and then split up. But
how many people?
It was a four piece.
And what, East Bay people?
Oddly, we all lived in the East Bay.
Yeah.
Oh,
but nobody's from there. That's right.
Yeah, but everyone, it was weird. Everyone was from the South. That wasn't, like, intentional, but it, one of the other guitar player who passed away is, like, someone I knew from South Carolina, and we just kind of ended up in the same town. And then, drummers from Georgia, and then singers from, I guess, North Carolina.
You want to know a band in the city, like from 1970 from the South?
Sure, yeah.
Residents. Louisiana.
Right, right. Oh, I didn't realize they were Southern guys, though.
Louisiana, 50 years ago.
That's great.
Shows to go.
No, totally.
Look, I want to play Fleshed Out from Mansion, okay?
Thank you.
Pedro Show. Yeah, fleshed out from Mansion. the late great Manson. And I'm so sorry about your... What was his name? Who passed away?
Ronnie Burke.
Yeah, so sorry, Ron. So, God, losing people is tough. You never know. So, but that's why we don't want to sit on our hands and make stuff, right? Because you don't know how long you got.
Manifesto, that's real.
After that, from... This is a great name, right? The Redneck Manifesto, but they're actually from Ireland. Northern Ireland. So, yeah, so that shows to go you about things. Names of things. And a tune called Lick. And then we have L'Orage, which was, French for storm. Tenko, Diane LaBrosse, Zena Parkins, great harp player, plays with Nels Klein. Joanne Hittu and Danielle Pilardi. And finally, SPF with Tango. What's the story about SPF?
That's the most recent group I've played in. And it's still kind of on and off active. It's a three-piece band that started in the Bay Area, and then kind of, as two of us moved, sort of just, we all got scattered, but it's still, sometimes we'll get together and play or tour. I mean, I guess not right now, but, so that was like a trio. I guess that kind of shifts a lot, but on that record, I played like electric violin and electronics.
Whoa.
Not that I don't really know how to play the violin, but
well, it's tuned in fifths, you know, instead of fourths,
yeah,
like a guitar. So the jumps are more dramatic. Is SPF, right. Is it an acronym?
I guess it is. I think it stands for Sun Protection Factor.
Oh yeah, of course. Because there was a band,
but you never really hear that part spoken all the way through.
There was a band in the old days called SPK, and it was Surgical Penis Clinic.
Right. And yeah, they're great. We were kind of wondering if that was too close to home, you know, the name, but.
Well, it was kind of like Throbbing Gristle or Black Humor, like Jim Vail the other day. He knew about this. And they were out of the city in the early 80s, maybe 200 of these records, and he knew about it. And you know, this kind of thing, like when we were talking at the beginning of the show, punk, right? And I like the way you said hardcore, because that was only one way of doing punk. There in the 70s,
right.
There was the 70s, you know about Throbbing Gristle, right? That stuff was crazy ass.
Right, yeah.
It wasn't just
fast. Yeah, that was an influence for sure.
It wasn't just fast guitar, right? I mean,
right.
Sometimes there was a guitar. She would also play a trumpet sometimes. But it was like anything goes.
Right.
And that's the hardest thing to explain to people.
Yeah, totally.
If you weren't there or if you ain't aware of them records, you think it's this one thing, a mohawk and fast guitar.
Right.
Shit, I beat my brains out for 40, 50 years trying to tell you about that. where can people find you on the internet, Cube?
I have, it's mycube.bandcamp.com.
Okay, mycube.bandcamp.com?
Yeah, my, yeah, like my,
right.
Mycube. And then also mycube.wedding is just like a website.
Wedding.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Got a good deal on that domain name, yeah.
Yeah. And look, I mean, you know, you've really tried different stuff. I'm curious, if there was a younger cat coming up to you and asking you for advice, what would you have any for him?
Oh, man, about music or about?
Yeah.
Ooh, I don't know if I'd be qualified. I guess... Yeah, I might have to get back to you on that. I'm not sure.
Okay. Look, when you get this new album out, will you come back and be on the show and we can play it all and talk about it?
Yeah, sounds great.
Yeah,
I'd love to.
Great. Big honor to have. I like what you're doing, man. And what you're doing to me and like a lot of the cats, thank you, Evan, because you guys, you're pioneers, man. You look at it, you know, it's a shovel. You don't copy the shovel. You use the shovel to do your own digging. I love that idea.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
No problem, Q. People, it's been the September 14th, 2020 edition of Watt Fever Show. Keep your powder dry.